Roland Smith here, and this is Carl Sepetino is on. Actually, he's on assignment. We're going to talk to him in a few minutes. Filling in for Carl today is my good friend and our good friend, Alan Marcus. Alan, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
Okay, let me start this particular segment with this. In so many ways, I wanted to try to embrace the GOP ideas to govern this country with elegance and courtesy and fiscal responsibility. But when they continually dump on the president, blaming him for everything except not putting the top back on the toothpaste, I find it a little hard to participate. Now, let me detail that for you, because I know you're the political analyst here, and you may rebut what I have to say. Mitch McConnell says Obama doesn't set the agenda. The last time I looked, I thought the executive branch of government did just that. The majority of this nation elects a president, not just one senator's state or one representative's district within a state. The usurpation of executive power, to me, is unbelievable. Republican Whip Steve Scalise, who said that, I believe, has still some serious explanations to do for giving a speech to a white supremacist organization. He said that Obama's one message was his way or no way. I read the entire State of the Union speech, and I didn't get that message at all. Speaker Boehner says that Obama's proposals were fantasy land, and I didn't get that message either. And then with an apparent slight to Obama, because the GOP thinks that this is the way to govern, Congress invites Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu to speak before Congress to apparently rebut Obama's hopes and wishes on a nuclear treaty with Iran. Ellen, I didn't think that was a slight. I thought it was an insult to the executive branch of government. Now, the gentlemen and ladies who are in our great Congress are not citizen politicians speaking and acting as our forefathers had hoped. And many of them are rich, arrogant, partisan, and powerful career politicians. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a rich politician in my mind, but there is something wrong about being an arrogant, partisan, and powerful politician and using the illusion to obstruct the common sense of compromise in American government.
First, Rowan, let me say, I don't think Congress has a monopoly on arrogance. And I think that you saw a lot of the arrogance that you describe coming from the president himself, not only in the State of the Union, but leading up to that. In terms of the invitation by Congress to Netanyahu of Israel, that's really a violation of the Constitution. The foreign policy is the province of the president. That's what the Constitution says, and they're very clear on that. And I would have to agree with you and actually go beyond what even you said and say that's just a violation of courtesy, it's a violation of law, and it's a violation of the way we have conducted ourselves as a country since the 18th century. But I can't agree that the president is a victim. I rooted for Barack Obama to succeed.
I know you did, and you are an avowed Republican.
I'm a Republican. Well, I'm a bull mooser.
Okay, all right.
You know, I
can go for that.
I'm financially conservative, and I'm kind of moderate when it comes to social issues.
Would you like to explain what a bull mooser is for those who might not remember?
The Bull Moose Party was established by Theodore Roosevelt in his abortive attempt to make a political comeback in the early part of the 20th century. And what Roosevelt's party stood for was very, very strict fiscal policies, but at the same time, things like creating national parks, which Roosevelt was famous for. So he was socially active, socially moderate. Actually, Roosevelt was probably socially liberal for his time. But a strict conservative from a financial perspective. And I think that's what the Republican Party was that I went to work for back in the 1960s when, you know, Richard Nixon was president. The Republican Party today has gone far, far off of that path, much more conservative in terms of social issues, trying to dictate social policies to individuals, which I frankly don't have room for in my political calculus. But at the same time, President Obama's party lost the last election. There's a Republican Senate, there's a Republican House, and we have a constitution that says we're going to have three co-equal branches of government, the judiciary, the legislative, and the administration.
Or the executive branch.
The executive branch, yeah. and the Congress. Let's keep the judiciary out of this. It's too complicated.
I'm sure they'll like that.
But he hasn't recognized that the people of America, not all of the people, but a majority who elected a House and a Senate of a certain persuasion, that he can't come and dictate. They're co-equal. They have the same say that he does. They have to work together. Our entire Constitution is based on the premise that the executive and the Congress have to work together to accomplish anything. And the reason nothing's been accomplished is they don't work together.
Well, I would agree with you, co-equal. But when the legislative branch decides to invite a president of another country to rebut the president of their country, that doesn't seem to me be co-equal. That seems to me contentious.
I believe it's irresponsible. But I wonder, while the people in the White House are trying to figure out how to deal with this, just think what the parliament and the cabinet in Israel are trying to figure out what to do with this invitation.
Yeah. What do you think they'll do?
I think they're going to punt, not with deflated balls.
Right. We're going to talk about that later.
No, I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to try to hope that the Americans resolve it, that the executive and Congress, you know, get a grip. I think Netanyahu would love to come to Washington to visit with the president and maybe address Congress while he's doing it. But he doesn't want to get in the middle of a constitutional crisis, and he's got enough of it on his own plate.
Well, what else did I say in that open commentary is exactly what it was that you would disagree with?
Well, let me just go to the arrogance for a moment.
Okay.
I believe the most important day in French history was Bastille Day, but it was surpassed a few weeks ago by this demonstration against terrorism, where 3 to 4 million people lined the streets of Paris. World leaders were there, some 30 world leaders, including Netanyahu and the head of Hamas. They stood 15 feet apart.
I know. I found that fascinating.
Who should have been in the middle bringing them together? The president of the United States, the leader of the free world, the leader in the fight against terrorism. And where was he? Nobody, you know, he was back in Washington.
Well, come on now. They have admitted that this was a big mistake. And I think
this isn't the third grade, Rollin. You can't admit it was a mistake. Get a gold star and go back to recess.
You can't take it home to mom and just sign off on it.
Doesn't work that way. Too bad it doesn't. But they made a terrible mistake. There was a calculus there that anybody in politics, and I'll admit, I was a low level guy in politics. Well, maybe not that low level, but low enough.
Yeah, I don't think you were that low level.
It's first thing I would have said to the president was, "We got Air Force One warming up. You're going to be in Paris. You're going to bring Hamas and Netanyahu together during this demonstration, and we're going to make progress for the first time, or we're going to try to do it." He failed in that. It was his own arrogance. He's been arrogant with Congress.
Wait a minute. Can you really claim that the president failed, or can you much better say that his staff did not?
I didn't vote for his staff. I voted for Obama.
Come on now. That's not fair.
What are you going to do, punish the staff? We're going to give them detention?
Well, you could fire them or some of them.
No, I can't. He can, but he hasn't.
Now, if he did, would you feel better about all of this?
No.
No, okay.
No. It's just like the Rowan on 9/11 when George Bush said that he couldn't get back to Washington because the Secret Service and the staff said he really had to fly around the country. And I remember telling you on the air, his place is in Washington, D.C., leading this country. The staff, I was a staff person. I was overruled by the executive, the elected political leader, on a number of occasions, appropriately so.
Did you ever feel that when you were overruled, that the overruling was wrong and you were right?
I never thought that it was clear, black and white, but I understood why I was overruled.
Really?
Yes. Sometimes a staff person thinks of it only from the political perspective or their area of responsibility. A good elected official is looking at the whole chessboard, so to speak. And that he listen, that elected official, female, male, whatever, they're the ones that are have accountability to the public, not the unnamed staff person who doesn't have to pay that price.
Well, you're very right on that, Alan. And I want to continue with some of these topics as we do so. And you fill in for Carl today. And I appreciate you being right here. Smith Sabatino, we'll be right back. So stay with us.
America.
Welcome to American Biker Minutes.
I met Evel Knievel.
The continuing adventure of Evel and the Kid.
I saw him jump at the Chicago Amphitheater.
Today on American Biker Minutes.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minutes. One of the all-time greats.
I met Evel Knievel. I saw him jump at the Chicago Amphitheater. I got on the shoulders of the 6'5 neighbor guy, and I watched Evel Knievel go by at 100 miles an hour doing wheelies on his Sportster, waving to the crowd, overshoots his jump 12 inches from the ceiling, and he slides the bike into the wall, jumps up like nothing happened, everyone's cheering. It was a great experience.
American Biker Minutes, your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Think Green. Harrison with you. Natural News has been tracking research conducted by the British Heart Foundation showing some 90% of British mothers don't properly understand food nutrition labels. Most women falsely believe that products claiming to be good sources of certain vitamins or rich in whole grains are actually healthy, though many products are actually loaded with unhealthy ingredients. The most common? Foods that are high in fat and sugar with glowing health claims. While partially true in some cases, phrases like naturally flavored and no artificial ingredients were found to be commonly used on breakfast products that are high in refined sugar and had bad saturated fats. One cereal claiming to boost heart health was found to have more sugar per serving than a donut. Another reason to always think organic first. From the Greeniverse,
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.